All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 46 in this American History program of History at Our House for the Elementary Class. Today, our topic is New England versus New France, the heavyweight battle of the colonies. So, we have been talking mostly, of course, about English colonies in North America. And in fact, we have added a new anchor fact to our timeline of key milestones in history. So I'm going to go ahead and share that with you as a reminder of some of the most important events in history that are key to understanding American history. And so in our story now, we have added this new kind of combined anchor fact that is the successful settlement of Jamestown in Virginia, 1607, and the successful settlement of Plymouth in Massachusetts, 1620. Okay, so now this has become a new anchor fact of history. Now, before we continue now, I want to just make sure that we understand why and remind ourselves and are comfortable with what these so-called anchor facts are. This is a term that Mr. Powell has created, so you're not going to find it in any other history books. So what is this idea of an anchor fact? It's just like, remember, we were talking about having a ship out on the ocean and the importance of having an anchor in order to be stable, right? Especially in a storm. And historical facts are a massive ocean of information. So there are points where it's important to anchor our understanding. That's where I came up with the concept of an anchor fact. Okay, so we have a fact such as, well, English settlers created a colony at Jamestown in 1607. Now, that by itself tells us who? English settlers. What created a settlement? Where? At Jamestown, in Virginia. When? 1607. All right, and we could also talk about why, right? We talked about planting people in the Americas and why they wanted to do that in order to make things that the people back in England would like to have. Okay, so now we've got all those important questions, right? Who, what, when, where, why? But guess what? We do not, by having that information all by itself, we don't have an anchor fact yet. Because remember, what is an anchor fact? Who, what, when, where, why is not good enough for history, period. I mean, but never mind, but for anchor facts especially. So, Dina, what do we need to make this better than just raw information?
So what?
So what? Exactly, right? When we're studying history, we do collect a lot of information, and we've got to be careful because there's so much of it that we could just end up learning a bunch of useless stuff. That is not a good use of our time. So in order to learn information that actually helps us to understand the world around us, we always have to try to think of not just who, what, when, where, what, but the answer to the question, so what? Okay, why does an event matter to us? Because we are not living in 1607, right? We are living more than 400 years later. So what was going on back then really is very far removed from our lives, isn't it? It can't really matter unless we can see somehow that it's connected to us, right? So can anybody, we've dabbled with this one in terms of what it is. Who could try here to explain, so what? Jamestown, Plymouth, so what? Why does that have to be an anchor fact? What does it tell us about the world around us? So, Abby, go ahead.
Well, there couldn't be a United States of America without the first colonies that were founded by these people.
Okay, very nice, very nice. So you cannot get to, now, and this is really what today's story is going to be about and tomorrow's story as well, is how do we get to a United States of America? Because we have all this Europe, we have all this other stuff going on, and yes, we have Columbus coming over, and those are the Spanish, right? And, well, how do we get to a USA? It's, we don't really have the information that we need to understand. How do we get there? And so one of the key pieces of information is, well, guess what? The English people have to start coming over here. Because when we're talking about the United States of America, what language are we speaking? Are we speaking the language of Christopher Columbus? That would be Italian. Are we speaking the language of Ferdinand and Isabella? That would be Spanish. All right, we need to have some information here that helps us to understand the world around us, which is an English-speaking world. So we've got to have people from England coming over here and wanting to live here and make a life for themselves here. So that's why Jamestown and Plymouth are anchor facts. Those are the first examples of Englishmen coming to America and succeeding in doing that. Okay, so good. So that's the so what. You can't get a United States of America. You can't get us right here, right now, speaking English. That's how, you know, you can really say it in a personal sort of way. It's a good idea to think about it in a personal sort of way. You would not be here right now taking history at our house. That doesn't happen. Unless Englishmen come to America and settle there. So it's right there. Your own life is made by this fact. Okay? So that's the so what. All right? And it's very important for us to focus on so what when we are studying history, right? Because there's so many facts, and if we don't have a good answer to the so what, guess what's going to happen to that information? Mr. Powell is talking and talking, more facts and another thing about another guy and another person in another place. What's going to happen to that information that I am relating to you? As well as I might be telling the story, what's going to happen to it? Pretty simple. Rosetta?
Let's forget it.
You're just going to forget it. You're going to forget it because, for a simple reason, Rosetta, because we do not remember things that are not important. It's really simple, right? So, Jeremy, what did you have for lunch on December 7th, 2010? Jeremy, please tell me.
A ham sandwich.
Oh, come on. Is that because you always have a ham sandwich for lunch? You couldn't possibly remember. Jeremy's a joker. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Nash, what color t-shirt did you wear on July 4th, 2011?
I caught you. What color t-shirt?
I have no idea.
Okay, good answer. All right, so Jeremy's a little trying to steal Mr. Powell's comedic thunder here and making a joke that he actually remembers the sandwich that he ate that day, which is not true, right? Why do you not remember, right? Because who cares? So what? I mean, assuming something amazing didn't happen that day, which is possible, right? Because, well, I actually said July 4th, so you might actually remember what you did on the 4th of July, because that's a big deal, right? You might remember what happened on that day. Maybe you took a special trip to New York City to see the fireworks, so you ate lunch at the top of the Rockefeller Center or something. You might remember it. Okay. Well, okay, that's because, why? Because you've got a good answer to the question, so what? Right? So this is why we focus on that. Now, let me just, for a second, talk about this so what thing and what you should kind of hope to know and understand as we go forward here. Okay? Because when I tell you that there would be no United States of America without Jamestown or Plymouth, now you might understand what I just said. Right? I hope you do, because if you don't, that's a problem. You probably understand, okay, there's a country, and it was created by people who came here. That's a pretty straightforward thought, right? But it still might not seem like a really big deal to you. So, in other words, the so what, even the answer that we have to the question, so what, to you, is not that big of a deal. Right? And that, especially if you're the younger students here. So you might find yourself thinking, well, all right, Mr. Powell is saying some interesting things, but it doesn't really feel real to me. I just live in a small town here or there, and my parents are taking care of me, and I have a nice dog, and, you know, I have all this fun stuff in my life, and I don't really see why that big story matters so much. So if that's the case, it's important to be okay with that. And what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about the so what, and we'll keep talking about it. And what happens is over time, you learn to see more things that you couldn't see before. This is what education is all about. It's about learning to understand the world and be an independent person in it who understands it yourself. And it takes time. And it adds up over time. So it's okay to kind of not always feel like the so what is such a big deal to you. If it's not, it's okay. And what happens is, though, is that, let's say, in a few years you learn American history again, something cool is going to happen. Mr. Powell or some other teacher will tell you about Jamestown. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen when you hear the word Jamestown? 3 years from now, let's say, if you're doing history at our house again, and you are coming back and studying it again. What happens the next time you hear Jamestown? The next time you hear 1607? Abby?
You're going to remember, and it's also going to seem like a big deal to you then.
Yeah, well, not necessarily still. It still won't necessarily be a big deal. But something cool is going to happen. That is, you're going to remember hearing that before. And you're going to realize, oh, wait a minute, something that I learned a few years back is coming back and it's important again. And this is something that happens in life, where we kind of learn something and then maybe it wasn't important the first time, and so we forget it. And then we come back and, oh, it happens again. We have that experience again, or we learn that fact again, and then we realize, oh, wait, it's more important than I thought the first time. And it builds up. It builds up over time, which is why we study history kind of in a cycle. We go back and forth and back and forth and learn the facts again, and you come back to it, and the next time you study it, you'll be older, you'll know more, you'll have traveled to other states, you'll be kind of understand what America is a little bit more than the last time, what the world is like a little bit better than now, and it just keeps building and building. Okay? So that's what we're doing. We'll work on these facts, and remember, we're going to do facts practice, which is a memorization exercise. And the facts practice is a way of trying to repeatedly look at these facts and remind ourselves. But even there, it won't necessarily stick, and it's okay. All right? It's just a way of getting ready for the next time you're going to learn it. Okay? That I just wanted to mention as even though we focus on these anchor facts a lot, that's why we do it, okay? So now we need to think about, well, what's our purpose right now in our story today, which is New England versus New France. Let's move on here. We've got English colonies, and in fact, we've studied more of them. We had Maryland, where there were Catholics, and we had Rhode Island, where people could have any kind of Christianity they wanted. We had different colonies. Right? So we know that there were a whole bunch of them. In fact, 13, right? And, well, but the thing is, they were not the only ones in the area. Right? So we go over here to our map of 1700 and focus on North America, for instance, what do we have here? Surrounding the pink part, which belongs to England, we have this massive blob of blue, which belongs to whom? Well, it's pretty obvious because it's already in the title of our lecture today, right? But Dana, go ahead. Belongs to France. And what do we know about France and England? Best friends forever, right? All right. No, of course not. We know that they, at this point in history, were worst enemies forever. All right, so we jokingly call that WEF, worst enemies forever. All right, so they didn't like each other. And, well, they were starting to compete for land, right? These colonies here were kind of getting closer and closer to each other, and people were doing things and starting to get upset with each other. So let's learn a little bit about that and how that is going to lead us to the birth of America. Because this is kind of the puzzle for today and tomorrow, is how does a conflict between New France and New England lead to a new country? Ooh, that's a pretty catchy way of putting it. How does a conflict between New France and New England lead to a new country? That's the question. Okay, so let's take a look here a little bit more to learn a little bit more about New France, which is on this close-up map. Hopefully everybody is very comfy with this geography, right? We have Massachusetts here. We have Virginia down here, right? And the other of the colonies. And then over here, we have, just ignore this kind of red line for a minute as far as this is concerned, but we have a place called Quebec. And this is where the French began their settlements in North America in 1608. So right around the same time as Jamestown, the French started going here. Now, this is kind of a cool place in North America. Look here, you're on the Atlantic Ocean. You're on the Atlantic Ocean, and you're coming to America, and you see this big crack in the continent. It's a really big area here. It's called the mouth of the St. Lawrence River. Can anybody think of a reason why this would be kind of an exciting thing? Remember what we were studying in the Age of Discovery. I'll give you a hint. Why would this be such an exciting thing to have a big crack in North America of water and for the people back then? Before colonization, right? Jeremy, go ahead.
Because they wanted to get around America.
Yes, excellent. Or in this case, right, this would be an example of going through, right? The French were interested in this St. Lawrence River because you could maybe go through America. Now, they didn't know how thick it was, right? They didn't know how big it was. They didn't know about all the mountains and everything. But as it turns out, it's pretty neat. If you go on the St. Lawrence River, watch this blue line here, right? If you go on this blue line, it takes you all the way to a really big lake called Lake Ontario. And if you go on that lake over here to the next lake, it's Lake Erie. Now, you're getting pretty far in to the continent on water. And then you can do something pretty cool, which is you get in a boat like these guys here, right? And you go across the streams right over here. Look at these streams right here. Right over here. I'm going to zoom in a little bit more. We've got some streams here that are pretty close to the lake. Okay? And then, so if you can cross, you can take your canoe over here and you can cross onto those streams. Before you know it, you are on what river? Taking these ones over, these streams over here, and you're onto this river, which is called the Allegheny River. And before you know it, what river are you on? See it down here? Dana?
The Ohio River.
All right, now let me show you something really cool about the Ohio River. Ready? get on that Ohio River, and what happens? But remember, back then, in pre-industrial times, rivers were the highways. If you want to go far, you want to go fast, you go on a river. So look at this. Go on an Ohio River, and what happens? You can go all the way here, and then the Ohio River joins what river? The greatest of the American rivers, right, Nemo?
The Mississippi River.
And it takes you all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico, to Louisiana down here, right? Now, of course, what the French were actually hoping, they weren't actually hoping to get to the Gulf of Mexico. That was actually made probably a disappointment to them. What they were really hoping to do was to do what we're going to see later, some American explorers would do, right, kind of go on this river, and then, oh, find a river over here, and maybe that river then connects with a river over here, and what have you done? What did you do, Abby?
Gotten onto a head start to Asia.
Exactly, right? Ever since Columbus, ever since Prince Henry, before Columbus, the main goal is to get to Asia. So, not knowing how big the continent was, the French were looking for ways to get through it. They were interested in these rivers. They didn't settle an awful lot in these regions, but they were really excited about the possibility that they could get through the continent, kind of find a shortcut, right? Remember, everybody's wanting to find a shortcut through the Americas to get to Asia. So that's what they were trying to do. And, well, what ended up happening was, going downhill is easier, so they went downriver is easier. So they ended up taking over here. So here we have the St. Lawrence, right, over here, and then we have the lakes right there. And so they ended up taking this route all the way down to Louisiana and kind of filling in the center. And because there weren't a lot of them, these characters, the Frenchmen who were exploring this area, tended to get along pretty well with the natives. They tended to get along pretty well with the natives because, they were explorers, there weren't a lot of them, and they weren't very threatening, and they were known as, the expression in French is coureur de bois, and in English that means the runners of the woods, kind of a neat expression. And so there weren't a lot of them, but they were still managing to kind of make friends with the natives and explore the interior, and overall, and it took tens and tens of years, right, decades and decades, overall, kind of lay claim to the interior of North America. That river system, that region between Quebec and Louisiana and everything in between, it was the French who got there first, and it was the French who were in control of it. Okay, so, well, That's an interesting fact all by itself, right? That's a bunch of who, what, when, where, what's. Who, what, when, where's, and why, right? All right, but again, so what? Okay, why does it matter that the French took over these parts of North America? Well, now, if this was Canadian history, we'd actually have a pretty big so what, wouldn't we? Does anybody know why this would be such a big so what? I bet Nemo can probably tell us about what's going on. Why is New France kind of a big deal, and much more so in Canadian history, Nemo? Go ahead.
We're going to have a new country, Canada.
Yeah, indeed. And that new country, Canada, is going to be different than the United States because it's going to have a lot of English-speaking people. But what's the special part? What is kind of an important thing to Canadians that's very different from America? Rosetta.
We're still going to speak French.
Yeah, it's Canada's a country where there are two main languages. So Quebec is the name of what's called a province in Canada, kind of like a state in America. And people there speak French. So that's definitely a really big deal in Canadian history. In American history, the so what is different. The so what is, well, France and England, We know what they're like. We know, we've studied a little bit of European history, we know that they are enemies. And therefore, they eventually are going to be stepping on each other's toes over here in this boundary between the blue and the pink. And, well, once they start doing that, and in fact, see, the English settlers are going to go into this area too. This they called the Ohio Country, which is why we have the state of Ohio now. And so this is where they're going to go as well. But guess what? The French are already there, right? And so, well, if they both want the same thing, we know how Frenchmen and Englishmen are going to act if they want the same thing. They're going to fight. They're going to fight. So we get a series of wars in American history. And they are called by different names. One of the names for it is the French and Indian Wars. So that's one name. And the other name is the Colonial Wars. And perhaps even they're known by other names in for different people, but those are kind of the two general names for the wars. We're not going to learn the story of those wars in any detail. As it turns out, there were four of them, and nothing really happened in those wars that mattered all so much until the last one. So I'm going to spare you the details, spare you the kind of dreary story of people fighting over not much, And all of that, of which there's too much in history, right? And take you to the story of the final one. The final one. And all of them together are known as the French and Indian Wars, but the last one is so important, and it matters so much, that it is called the French and Indian War. So the single one, of course, that matters the most. So they're gonna fight. The French and the English are going to fight. And tomorrow we're going to look at a few of the details of that story because it matters. We're going to see, for the first time in American history, guess what character we're going to encounter as an officer in the English forces helping the English settlers to fight in the Ohio area. Somebody rather famous is going to be a very important military leader soon. I think Abby knows.
George Washington?
George Washington's going to be in our story, right? And we're going to have some other characters as well that are important in this war. But first, I want, as a kind of way to give you a hint as to why this matters, let me put it to you this way. Does anybody have any idea why the wars, these wars between New England and New France, would lead to a new country? Again, that's the puzzle we're going to solve here. That's the question and that's the puzzle. Why would wars between, and it's not just New England, right? We think of New England as that corner of the, but I'm just the English colonies and New France. Why would that lead to a new country? That is the puzzle. And I'm going to give you a hint. Well, we know about wars. Wars are terrible times when lots of people kill each other. Armies, right, of countries fight each other. Okay. Now, well, there's a result of wars that is more than just kind of the loss of life. That is one of the terrible things, of course. But wars are also something else. We've talked about this in our class. We've talked about how, for instance, why were there colonies in the first place? So that money doesn't have to go from your country to another country. Instead, it can stay. You can buy things from colonies instead of other countries. It has to do with money. What is the other than the loss of life, what is the other cost of war? That was too straightforward of a question, isn't it? What is the other cost of war other than lives, which of course is the most important? But, Rosetta?
They have to, it costs a lot of money because they have to buy supplies.
Right. Wars are a huge, terrible drain on money. Because when you spend money to make a bullet and a gun and a bomb or whatever, what ends up happening to that money? That money disappears. The bullet gets fired and it's gone. And the bomb explodes and it's gone. And then what happens when that bomb explodes? It breaks something else. And so now you've just destroyed something. You've killed a person, or you've destroyed a piece of property, or some ship or something. And there's a huge drain on money. So now the question is, okay, again, so what? So what? So maybe you're not sure yet, but we got one more kind of leap to take here, and that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Is wars cost a lot of money? And so, final hint today, if governments need money, what do they need to do? How do they get their money? Nemo's going to give us one try for the last question and answer today. Go ahead, Nemo. Taxes. Okay. So, we'll see why that's going to be a big problem soon. Okay, but we'll come to that tomorrow. We'll come to, all right, New England versus New France leads to this big war, the French and Indian War, and that's going to cost a lot of money, and then the English government is going to want to tax people in the colonies, and, well, for some reason, which is very important, they're not gonna like it. Much more important than just they're not gonna like it, in fact. They're gonna see that there's something terribly wrong with that. Alright, so here it comes. The American Revolution is getting closer and closer. We'll take kind of the last step towards it tomorrow. Alright, that's it for today, guys. Thank you very much. And we'll pick things up tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.